B-Pod Studios.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Thank you for the $100 donation. It's Miller time. Who needs a sub to chat when you can drop donos?
We got time for one more?
No. We don't have time.
All right, guys. I got to go.
All right, Gordon.
I appreciate you playing.
Yeah,
hopefully
appreciate
I can come back and play again.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
Hey, for sure, man. It was a pleasure.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
All right. See you, man.
Now, that's a Celtics clip I enjoy. That is Gordon Hayward going online. I think it was on Twitch, which you can watch us, twitch.tv. Search the Sports Hub, and you can watch us every morning. But that's him, Gordon Hayward, playing against a guy named Dr. Disrespect, who has a crazy mustache and glasses. And you can hear Gordon Hayward's wife come in, telling him to get off the video game system, whatever, he's playing an Xbox, and him saying, can I just play a little bit longer? And she goes, no. And he's like, sorry, guys, I got to go. And you hear her going, I'm watching my husband play video games. What kind of a life do I have? Or something like that at the end.
How pathetic is my life?
How pathetic is my life? And by the way, no one should be ashamed at any of this. Like, I think Gordon Hayward, it was funny, it was relatable. And the wife, it's like, whatever. I mean, he probably had kids, he had to put to bed. She's probably sick of it. I don't care. But it was funny. However, I think the wife felt compelled to make a statement yesterday.
Yes.
I think this might, was this from her Instagram?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So here she is, which once again, she did need to do this. Nobody's not liking the wife because of this. I think it's just like, this is how life goes. When you're married and you have kids, that's how things happen. But here's his wife.
I just was reading some comments from people who were super offended from me on Gordon's stream yesterday saying he didn't have time for another game when he asked. We were leaving to go to his workout, so don't get so offended by things. And when I was on the phone, it was a joke when I said, how pathetic is my life watching him play video games? Don't be so offended by things. Your life is going to be so miserable if you're offended by everything people say. I wasn't even watching him play video games. I had just walked in the room to tell him it was time to go. So I hope that makes you feel a little bit better. And I hope you have a better day.
I mean, come on.
You really have to do that?
I mean,
my God.
Well, I mean, listen.
You're apologizing for the trolls that follow you on Instagram? I'm
sorry you trash people don't get it. I have a better life than you.
There you go.
And I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm sorry that you're sorry. You don't get my brand of humor.
All right, so that I thought that was funny yesterday. However, it was a nice palate cleanser after, you know, the whole grossness that happened with Anthony Davis over the weekend. And I said this yesterday, Kyrie Irving, I can deal with his strangeness because he's amazing. He's the guy that I think that you need to win a championship. I love him on the court. Ever since he's been in the league, he's a guy that you watch. He's exciting.
Hard to like, hard to dislike on the court,
oh, yeah.
Right? Like, he's unbelievable.
Hard worker. The guy like plays hard and goes out there. And he's like, I even liked for a while his off the court persona because he's a little strange. You know, he had the right amount of weirdness. Dude's got a Friends tattoo, the logo of the TV show Friends mm-hmm. on his arm. And the Flat Earth stuff, whatever about that. But, I mean, it was just he was an interesting guy. However, now that he's taken the role as the quote-unquote leader on this team, he's found himself throwing players, younger guys, under the bus in comments that he's made. Now, yesterday, I don't know if we have it because Mike took off, but when he did that interview with ESPN.
Rachel Nichols.
With
yeah.
Rachel Nichols. First of all, he didn't have to do that interview. Second of all, in the interview, he said the media, like, they thrive on breaking up locker rooms. Like, they always twist my words, and everything I say ends up getting distorted and blah, blah, blah. And then I say, dude, you're talking to the media right now. You're doing an interview you didn't have to do. This isn't a post game or a pregame that's required, and you have to speak to people, and people are twisting it or whatever. I understand when that happens, and I actually have some sympathy towards the players. But you sat down with Rachel Nichols, and you told Rachel Nichols that you hate that his words, when he speaks to the media, gets twisted, so he doesn't want to do it anymore, but he was doing it. So that drove me crazy. And then there was this last night. So Steve Bulpet, this is Steve Bulpet, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald, who, you know, I like what he writes. But here, this was just awkward. There was that video that came out over the weekend that had Kyrie Irving talking to Kevin Durant. Looked like kind of near the lockers of the All-Star game. And many people read into what they were saying. They're reading their lips. It looked like Kyrie Irving, to one person, it looked like he said, we have room for two max contracts. And he held up two fingers, like, two contracts. Whether he said that or not, who knows? But it became a story. And it's a story. There's a video of him out there. And what it seemed to me was that it was a fair question just to ask him to clarify what was going on there. Okay?
Yeah.
Fair question?
Yeah. Why are you so buddy-buddy with Durant when you're both free agents? Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Here is the way Kyrie Irving responded. This is, by the way, thanks to B-Rob from Boston Sports Journal.
Kyrie,
do you want to say anything about that thing or whatever, the cold water?
The what?
Do you want to say anything about that, about the video, to kind of chill it, or what? Because people always are talking about it, Kyrie.
What does that matter to me? Somebody was... Listen, I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video and... I mean, it is what it is. Pour water on it? I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like, putting... It's just crazy. You know, this is... I mean, this is the stuff that just, like... just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bullshit like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's just, it's crazy. I guess that's what you wanted, huh?
No, what I'm saying is that it's out there. You want to pull it off or whatever.
By what?
People are running with it saying, you know.
Yeah, people.
We haven't written about it. We're like, that's what we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet.
Do you live? Is the internet real for you in your life?
Okay, stop, 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 stop. Is the internet real for you in your life? Do you understand that the reason that this is their job to talk to you about this? By the way, Bullpet completely mishandled this, and so did everyone around it. Here's all you have to say: is all you have to say is, were you talking to Kevin Durant about going to the Knicks? It's it. Because at that point, he could say yes or he could say no, and he could kill all of this. Then the conversation's done. No one's bugging you about it anymore. That's how you phrase the question, not, can you kind of talk about the, you know, could you pour water on it? Thing
yeah.
like that. And so what you're doing is, by being vague, you're giving him room to question what you're trying to get out of
right.
him. And Kyrie will do that. He'll find a center in you. He'll chew it up. And he'll take and
he'll quibble with the phrasing.
Because if he truly wants us all to go away, then answer the question. Then tell us, no, I was not talking about going to New York.
The other
what
part
can
of
you
this
say,
is...
What can you say as a media, as a person in the media after that? You can go, great.
Man,
answer
right.
the question, we're good.
In theory, you could say, I don't believe you, but not going to happen. And even so, what are you really accomplished
well,
there?
Well, then you're being an a-hole.
No, exactly.
If you remember the meeting, you say, I don't believe you, then you're trying to make a story yourself the story.
Right.
But that's
I wouldn't believe him, but I probably wouldn't say that. Right.
All right, let's let this finish.
Do you live in... Is the internet real for you in your life? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions? About cooling it off? For what?
The reason we're
asking, I don't get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people that the fans are interested in. That's all.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
This is about the fans.
That's
okay, this is about, so you're right.
Yes, Kyrie, it's about the fans. It's always about the fans. That's why these people write for these papers. It's because they need to write. They are the conduit between you and the fans, the people who buy the tickets, who watch these games, who support you, who make it so you can do what you do. Yes, the fans. Why do you have to continue to repeat yourself?
Right.
And the internet is a real thing, unlike the earth being flat.
Right. Right.
It's real.
Right.
And stop pretending like you don't know what it is. Oh, God, that drives me crazy. And I hate when they're like, why, it's my personal life. That's not your personal life. That right there is no. You in an All-Star game. And you know what? If it is, you just say, no, I wasn't talking about going to the New York Knicks.
Right.
All of this, the haters and all this stuff, you know why it's happening? You know why people keep bugging Kyrie Irving about it? Because he continues to make statements that are vague and lead people to say,
yeah.
Well, can you please clarify what you said?
Yeah, or because he won't commit to the Celtics, so everybody wants to know, what are you doing?
He isn't committing now because he committed at the beginning of the season and then backtracked. Well, no, at the beginning of the season. I intend to resign. So if you say that, especially in this market, people are going to hold you to it. And he must have known that. So he backtracks a month ago, and that's opened up the door to
course.
All of this.
But he's
smart. I know, but he's smart enough to know this. So I don't know where yesterday came from.
I just, there's something called the price of fame. And athletes sometimes don't seem to get that. Like, the price of fame is that, yes, you give up some of your private life. Fans are interested in where you're signing, Kyrie.
How about just
get it through your skull?
Don't be a dick to a guy trying to do his job. And in fairness, Bullpet should have phrased it in a better way.
And I would point out, and I agree with that, I would point out, Bullpet's not a bomb thrower either. Like, he's like, and you don't have to care who asked the question, and I'm sure we come across as sticking up for a media member, but he's not a bomb thrower. So, like, it's just, it's weird that this is the person he lashed out at.
And it's one of those things, too, where I can't understand why some reporters freeze up when they're talking to these athletes. And I know that you don't want to make enemies out of them, but that's a fair question that no player should get offended by. Hey, a video went out that went viral, and many people are saying, or I could say, and I watched it, and I thought that you might have been talking about going to New York. Can you just clarify, were you talking to Kevin Durant about going to New York, about playing for the Knicks? That's a yes or no question. And then it's done, and then it's done, and it's over with, and God, we need basketball. There's been too much time between real games.
I don't think that's going to save him.
You sure will. He's going to get out there and he's going to kill it, and everyone's going to forget all of this. And you know what? To be quite honest, I hope that happens.
Time he's in front of a microphone, it'll be right back there. He's stepped in it plenty of times with basketball. That's not going to save him.
Well, I don't even care. Like, just win. You know, and the only thing that this is doing is it's making it, and really, this is all kind of superficial. But you're right. For the past 4 years, this has been one of the most likable teams in the city. You know, the gritty underdogs, you know, they've fought. Brad Stevens has got these guys all working together. And all of a sudden, it's like, just feels weird. Everything around that, like these players, like everyone's speaking out. They're having all of these meetings. And at first, I loved what Kyrie was doing and what he was saying, trying to take a leadership role. But then there would be these little jabs and things that he would throw in there about the younger players. And I'm like, man, what are you doing? Like, these guys are busting their ass. And I think that there's chips on everyone's shoulders. There's chips on the younger guys because, you know, someone like Kyrie, who didn't go to the finals last year, or the Eastern Conference Finals, they didn't need him for that. They're like, why is my playing time being taken away? And then Kyrie Irving is like, well, I'm the star, but these young guys got to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, without me. So I feel like a little, like I have to compensate. And I don't like that. I wish they would have found a way to gel, and it hasn't happened yet. And I'm not used to this as a Celtics fan.
There's still time. There's still time for the gelling to occur.
And you know what?
They're running out of it, but there's still time.
And winning cures all.
And stuff like this doesn't help.
And basketball cures all. Just like, get out there and play. Yeah. I'd rather talk about the games. I'd rather talk about all that. But I mean, that drove me crazy. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to Steve Bullpet. I also think Steve Bullpet blew it. Like, he blew it. He should have asked a better question. But he doesn't deserve, no one deserves being treated like an a-hole for doing their job and not doing anything controversial. That was not a controversial question, and Kyrie went off on him, and no one deserves that. All right, 617-779-0985. There's a new member of the Boston Bruins who have won 7 straight. We have Ty Anderson, who writes for our website. He will come on with us and give us the latest on the new Bruins trade.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Corner, DeBrusk deflects it over to the near side. Krejci centers. DeBrusk shoots. He scores! What a 360 that was! Jake DeBrusk caught it in the slot. Spun and rifled it over the glove hand of Marc-Andre Fleury. Bruins 1, Golden Knights nothing.
Oh, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We have Adam Jones in this morning, and your Bruins are absolutely on fire. 7 games in a row since, of course, our pucks and paddles. Jake DeBrusk, 5-game scoring streak ever since he was on our show after the big slump. It's the TNR bump, and it is indeed real. Ty Anderson writes for the 98.5thesportshub.com website. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's because of pucks and paddles that this team is on a run. Is that correct, Ty Anderson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, walking around, they keep saying, like, pucks and paddles, man. That's the trick. That's how we did this. So you have to take the credit while you can get it, for sure. But, I mean, this team, I mean, they right now, I mean, nothing is stopping them. Everything that, you know, can go right is doing it, and they're winning in different ways, which I think is the most important thing right now.
And I was saying that when David Backes scores your game-winning goal, that's when you know something weird's happening with this team. It seems like a team of destiny when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the game in San Jose, it's Chris Wagner scoring a goal from, you know, 8 feet in the air, corralling it and scoring it, and then you got, you know, Torrey Krug gets the shot in the shootout, and you're thinking, okay, what's going on right now? Like, they're just kind of they're pushing all the right buttons, it seems. Even the moves that shouldn't work out are working out right now. And, you know, that gets you sort of thinking that Cassidy has those guys believing, or he's got the magic on like he did last season down the stretch for them.
Okay, so this was an interesting move yesterday. I thought it was a good trade. The Bruins ended up making a move. They got rid of Ryan Donato in a fifth-round pick for Charlie Coyle, who is, as Adam Jones has told us 1,000 times, he is a local guy.
I have sources telling me he's local.
He's 26, 10 goals, 18 assists in the 60 games he's played this season. Now, I've heard kind of – well, first of all, what do you think of the deal, and how do you think they're going to use him?
You know, I mean, for me right now, I'm lukewarm on it, if only because I want to see what other move they make, right? If this is the only move they make and they're going to sell me on Charlie Coyle being the difference maker, I don't like it because, you know, that's a halfway in kind of move, in my opinion. This team, they need two pieces. They need a third-line center, which Coyle can be, and they need a top-six winger. I don't think Coyle is a top-six winger right now. You look at his production in Minnesota, and you know, if you're playing with Eric Staal, and I know Minnesota is not a great team, but if you're playing with a player like that and getting the minutes like that, you should have more than 10 goals and 28 points. Like, that's just how I feel about that. So, you know, on the surface, it's not a bad price, but now they've backed themselves into a corner here. Because if you want to upgrade that position, you're going to have to give up something better than Ryan Donato. And I thought Donato was one of your better chips, you know, for a bigger deal like Mark Stone or Timmy Panarin. You know, even Kevin Hayes, I'm curious where they go from here because they need more. So, you know, right now it reminds me a little bit of the Chris Kelly trade back in 2011 when, if you remember when that happened, everyone was sort of really upset about that because they wanted Thomas Cavalier. You know, it turned out Kelly was a pretty good player for you down the stretch and Cavalier wasn't, but it just feels like an incomplete, you know, series of moves so far, in my opinion.
So I agree with a lot of that, Ty. Like, this can't be all they do. If it is, then that's underwhelming and disappointing, and I would probably want to undo it as a fan because, you know, I think it's selling a little low on Ryan Donato. That said, let's say they go all in. They get that top six winger, one of the names you mentioned, Stone, Kevin Hayes. Sources tell me he's another local guy, by the way. And also Panarin, right? One of those guys. If they acquire that player, are they good enough to beat Tampa?
You know, I think in the sense that you have now you have two and a half lines, you know, and that's sort of what you need to beat Tampa or to beat any, you know, top four team in the conference, or I'm sorry, in the league rather. You know, I think you look at what doomed them last year. They're a one-line team, and then that line dried up, you know, in the second round. So you need as much firepower as you can get. You look at last year's series of the Lightning, you know, Braden Point ate you for lunch. You know, it just happened. So it's one of those things where the more options you have at your disposal to handle a team like that, the better off you're going to be. You know, in my opinion, you know, if you slot Coyle as a third line center and you get a winger that allows you to drop Heinen, you know, for example, down to your third line, now you're much closer to you were last year. But I think Coyle is an upgrade over Riley Nash offensively. You know, Heinen, his confidence could be back, and then your top six. You know, hopefully you get a player who is better or not concussed like Rick Nash was last year. So it can make a difference. It doesn't make you a favorite, but now you lose in six games or seven games. Hey, maybe you win in seven games, you know, versus losing in four or five.
I'm wondering, Ty, as the trade deadline gets closer, which do you think the Bruins will emphasize more? Do you think they'll give up the better prospect or the better draft pick as we move along here? Say you offer a first-round draft pick and a lower prospect rather than a higher prospect than a second. Which way do you go?
Not to give you a cop-out, I think you have to do both at this point, right? Like, look at what Brian Boyle went for in Nashville. You know, Nashville paid a second-round pick to get him. If you want to get Mark Stone or Panarin, these guys that we've talked about, you have to give up a first-round pick. It's going to happen. And these teams are, you know, these are star players that they're moving on from. And, you know, in the case of Columbus, they're in the playoff race. So you're going to have to entice them with a pick and a top-end prospect. And it's just a matter of, do you want to do it? You know, in my opinion, you have to go all out. You have to go all in. You know, if you move Donato for Coyle and that's it, I mean, that's a half-in move. And, you know, truthfully speaking, I'd rather have Donato for 2 years than Coyle for 2 years if it means you're not a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. So, you know, it's one of those things where they've made their bed here. Like, they really have no excuse not to go all out and say, hey, you know what, if it costs a prospect and a pick, we got to do it. You know, we've talked about this before. Their best players are over 30. You know, Bergeron and Krejci and Chara, and you got two goaltenders that are in their mid-30s. You have to go all out now. I mean, you've sort of made your bed here, in my opinion, like I said. And I'm not going to take any excuses for them not making another big move here, especially because they need to.
Does their approach, and look, we're a week away from knowing, not even knowing, just what the Bruins told us the timeline would be to reevaluate David Pastrnak. It'll be sometime late next week, 2 weeks for evaluation, then who knows. Will their approach tell us anything about Pastrnak and his expected return?
Well, I think, you know, from the start, 2 weeks has always been just hopeful. You know, that's team speak. You talk to anyone, and they seem to think it's 3 to 4 weeks or 4 to 5 weeks until he's back. I think they're going to handle it with kid gloves because they know that they need him, you know, in the postseason. And right now they're winning, and you look at the playoff structure, they should be okay, you know, barring a late-season collapse of sorts. So I don't think it's going to change their opinion, you know, what they do too much, really. I mean, they always need another winger to put behind him. You know, when he was in their lineup and producing a point per game, and now when he's out of their lineup, I mean, they're still winning, which is nice. But I think they've always known that, hey, listen, we need some more support behind him, because you look at it before the Charlie Coyle edition, the next, you know, natural right shot guy who can play on the right side is David Backes. So they've always needed help there, you know, since the beginning of the season, since Rick Nash decided to retire, they've needed help there. So I think it's still an issue for them, and it's one of those things that, you know, Pastrnak doesn't impact it too much, especially, you know, given the fact they're winning right now without him.
Ty Anderson, have you asked your uncle Gary Cherone of Extreme whether or not the rumors that the original lineup of Van Halen are getting back together is true?
You know, I think I'm like 7 for 7 now when I'm talking about Gary Cherone and Van Halen.
Fascinating thing of any. If somebody works with me whose uncle was the dude from Extreme, I'm all in, man. I'm all in.
No, I'll have to get on work some of the sources there and figure that out. I mean, hey, that sounds right. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, man. I mean, what else are those guys gonna do? You know what I mean? Like, no disrespect.
Burn
man,
money. I think they've all done pretty well in their lives. But Michael Anthony getting back, maybe that will cover up for just how awful David Lee Roth sounds nowadays.
That's the thing. I mean, you just got to turn up the bass now and just see if you can drown out the vocals there and see what happens. I mean, listen, can Michael Anthony still come through with the backup vocals? I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, like, you listen back to the Van Halen stuff, man. Some of Michael Anthony's backup vocals, those are incredible.
Dude, he was the hidden weapon of that band. He was the secret weapon of Van Halen, without a doubt. And when he wasn't there and it was Wolfgang playing the bass, not the same. Not the same.
Yeah. I think Michael Anthony was the Chris Kelly of the Van Halen band. The underrated third line. He can do all kind of player. So I would hope so. I'll tell you this, though. In the year 2019, I'm not paying any sort of real money to listen to David Lee Roth talk sing at me.
Yeah, I mean, he like sings like every fifth word, and if you even call it singing. I mean, it was Fred left during the first song. Yeah. Like the first song, he's like, I'm out. And he wanted to see that reunion, quote unquote, so bad. And he was like, this is the worst. I was like, dude, I warned you. David Lee Roth sucks now. He's awful. And he's like, I didn't realize it was going to be this bad. So if you had the inside track from your uncle, let me know. Let me know. No, and we'll go from there. Appreciate it, Ty. Thanks
Absolutely.
For coming on, man. All right, talk
anytime.
To you. See ya. Okay, by the way, this is just, it's kind of funny. So last night I was with some of my friends, and my friends were asking me about Dan Roach. Like, he's not really like that way, is he? And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, the guy's like completely 1,000,000% Red Sox. Nobody loves the Red Sox more than this guy. And they said, if you texted him a Red Sox question, how fast would it be until he got back to you? And I said, I guarantee you within like 3 minutes. So I texted him last night.
3 minutes?
I texted him. I said, do you really think E-Rod is going to be decent this year?
Okay. Yeah.
And I was so bummed he didn't text me back. About 5 minutes ago, I get a novel texted back to me.
Yeah.
It was as if he took all night to come up with the proper answer. It was like,
he's like, I've been wrestling with this all night long. I was tossing and turning.
Danny went to sleep is what happened.
That might have been what it was.
He went to sleep at 10 at night and just woke up.
And the first thing he said, ooh, Red Sox. Yeah. And I texted him back. And I was like, I was just... I was just asking a friend how long it would take for you to get back to me. And he's like, usually people text me about the 10th round of their draft that they have for the MLB. So God bless Dan Roach. He's still feeling it down there.
Dan Roach goes to bed at 8 o'clock in his baseball pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dreaming of, you know, fungos to the outfield, hitting fungos to the outfield.
Okay. We have to talk about this because a guy just got arrested. It's one of the more wildest stories that's come out in a while. Dude just got arrested. I think we all knew this was coming. It is one of the craziest stories that has to do with a guy lying over and over and over again. And finally, he's been busted, and apparently he's now in cuffs. We will talk to that. We'll talk about that right after John Walk's headlines. Oh, yeah, that one's for Ty. 98.5 Sports Hub, it's Tutcher and Rich. Adam Jones in the studio. And a story that started off strange has just gone next level. So I don't watch the show Empire. And you guys watch the show?
No.
Okay, well, there's an actor on it.
I've seen it, yeah.
You have? Okay. Yeah. I heard it's actually an okay show. It's supposed to be pretty good. I don't know what character Jussie Smollett plays on it, but and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly because, to be quite honest, all I've heard interviews with him. I've read a ton of articles on this guy. But about a week and a half ago, I guess it was January the 29th, was when the big event happened. Let's start at the very beginning. So Jussie Smollett was on the show Empire. As of right now, I think he's still on the show. And he received a letter threatening him at the studio where Empire is filmed. It had these homophobic death threats against him. The letters on the front were like one of those old like kidnapping letters. It was cut out for magazines.
Like a ransom letter.
It was all spelled out from like magazine things like that. And apparently it had white powder in it. It ended up getting tested and it was just like aspirin. So a week after that happened, Chicago police opened up this hate crime investigation after Smollett said he was attacked near a Chicago apartment. According to the police, Smollett said that two guys came up to him around 2 a.m., shouted racial and homophobic slurs, poured what they're called an unknown chemical substance on him, and wrapped a noose around his neck. And that's when the story blew up. It's like, whoa, this is like a pretty awful hate crime. And he told detectives that they yelled, "This is MAGA country," and all this stuff. So on January 30th, Chicago police released this photo of two persons of interest that were caught on surveillance footage, while noting that the attack itself, there's no video of it or anything, but there's two guys that they were looking for. So on February 1st, I guess there was some skepticism that was raised about the attacks. I guess that Jussie did not give the police his phone and he wouldn't cooperate with them in that way. And so people started asking, well, why wouldn't you do that if you were indeed beaten up this badly? And so that's when Jussie feels that he needs to go on Good Morning America. This is his interview where he sat down and spoke about what happened. This is last Thursday. That's right.
What happened that night, Jussie?
When I landed in Chicago and Frank Gatson, who's like my uncle, and he's also my creative director, and he picked me up. We got back to the apartment. There was no food. And so I went out to Walgreens thinking that they were 24 hours and to have a smoke. Walgreens was closed. So I called him up and I said, "Hey, I'm going to run to Subway," which was across the street, "and I'm going to get a salad. Do you want anything?" I went to the Subway and got the order. During that time, I texted my manager thinking that he was still in Australia because he was on an Australian tour with one of his other clients. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yo, call me when you can." He called me immediately. And while he was on the phone, I heard, as I was crossing the intersection, I heard, "Empire." And I don't answer to Empire. Mm-hmm. My name ain't Empire. And I didn't answer. I kept walking, and then I heard, "Empire." So I turned around and I said, "The f- did you just say to me?" And I see the attacker masked, and he said, "This MAGA country punches me right in the face." So I punched his ass back, and then we started tussling. You know, it was very icy, and we ended up tussling by the stairs, fighting. There was a second person involved who was kicking me in my back. And then it just stopped. And they ran off. And I saw where they ran. and the phone was in my pocket, but it had fallen out, and it was sitting there, and my manager was still on the phone. So I picked up the phone, and I said, Brandon, and he's like, what's going on? And I said, I was just jumped. And then I looked down, and I see that there's a rope around my neck, which I hadn't.
You hadn't noticed it before?
No, because it was so fast. You know what I'm saying? It was so fast.
How long did this all
It felt take? Like minutes, but it probably was like 30 seconds, honestly. I can't tell you, honestly.
So later on in the interview, Robin Roberts asked him about what do you say to the people who think that, you know, this whole thing might have been made up, and he just went off, and he was like, all those people are blah, 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 blah.
He's well, like, I hope this comes out. I hope there's footage of it that comes out. People will know how wrong they were.
So then, immediately after that interview, Chicago police announced that they were questioning the two persons of interest who were seen on the surveillance video, but later on that day, the two guys were released without any charges, and the police said, hey, there's new evidence that has given us, quote, an additional investigative work to complete. So you're like, okay, what is this? So then you found out that these two guys were these two Nigerian brothers. And when they went in to get questioned, they said, yeah, that was us. Oh, and yeah, we were paid by Jesse Smollett to beat him up. $3,500. He paid us to beat him up. So they go to these guys' apartment and they find the rope there. They find like all of the stuff, newspapers that had the letters cut out. So they were responsible for all of the clippings and the things that were sent with the powder in it to the station or to the location where they filmed it, to the set. So Jussie now is like saying, okay, well, this is all a lie. These guys are all lying. These dudes got arrested and said, I'm not going to jail. He paid us to do this. So then all of a sudden there's a video of these two guys, the two Nigerian guys, going to this hardware store, which they said Jussie gave him money to do it. And they're buying ski masks. They're buying like bandanas and rope. And to me, I'm saying, okay, first of all, like, even if I had no idea what was happening, you see that, like, that's basically a mugging starter kit. It's just, at some point, maybe you just tip off a cop.
Right.
Like, literally everything for a mugging, they just purchased.
Right. If you know nothing about what it would look like to go beat somebody up, this is what you would want. This is all the material that somebody who doesn't know a lot about it would go buy.
Okay, so now, Jussie, as of this morning at about 6 o'clock, he has been arrested, and the police are going to make a statement at 9 o'clock. Obviously, filing a false report is something they'll be going. And they're saying that the reason he did all of this, the motive that is being floated around, is that Jussie believed that he was about to be written off the show, and he tried to do something that would garner him sympathy. So there would basically be a universal like love and embracing of this guy. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, according to what people are saying is that he was about to be written off the show, and he thought that if he did something that made him universally loved,
it's a pretty central character. So, like,
I don't even know.
See, I think, what I've seen, yes.
Now they're going to figure out a way to write him off the show.
Now
he's done.
Well, sure.
He succeeded. Well, he was right.
And now you're out. Yeah. So I don't even know what like filing a false report does. And I mean, obviously, tons of time was wasted by the police to do all of this, and he should be in trouble. But I mean, you see this not to this extent. But I mean, I've seen people who are about to lose their job do desperate things to try to get like sympathy or whatever. I mean, it happens all the time. So, and by the way, the people from Empire are saying, no, we were going to write them off. Like, they're all denying that there was anything. But by the way, they have no culpability, and there's no reason that they should have to release that statement. But how funny would it be if the entire time they weren't planning on writing him off in the end, and he went through this entire thing.
I'll tell you what: if you're gonna carry out and stage something like this, maybe pay the people more than $3,500. That way they don't all of a sudden flip to the cops the second they like. It's called a little bit of hush money.
Pay
like
them a plane or a plane ticket or at least a bus ticket out of town.
Throw them a few more bucks so they don't flip the second they get in front of the cops.
I just love how the moment they were in the police, they're being questioned by police, it was like, hey, we have video that shows you blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah, we got paid to do it. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to jail for
this. Did they get $3,500 combined? Of course they flipped.
I'm not going to jail for this a-hole. Yeah, yeah.
For $3,500? No. Of course not. They flipped at the first sign. Yeah, okay. We were paid to do it. It's his fault. I don't blame those guys one bit.
So this morning at 9 o'clock, apparently the police are going to spill everything out. They're going to talk about, I mean, because, and I guess there's like hundreds of texts and phone calls between these two dudes and just this Jussie guy setting up everything. I mean, they caught him red-handed, and he's absolutely busted, even though him and his lawyer have denied the entire time. So what a weird ass story, man. What a just a panic move by this dude that ended up, now he's in jail. So congratulations, Jussie, however you pronounce your name. 617-779-0985. Bird, our man Bird, he's down in Walt Disney World right now.
The question is, and no one seems to be able to answer this, where do you think Bird stayed? He's down there. Is he on property? Is he off property? I think the consensus is off property, like in Lakeland, Florida somewhere.
Like not even in Orlando.
No. I think we should go around the room and guess before we have Bird on.
What is Florida's, Central Florida's version of Everett?
Kissimmee? I don't know.
Apopka. He's hanging out with Brandon
Apopka,
Merriweather.
Right. Merriweather.
Yeah. Hanging out over there with Brandon Merriweather over at Apopka at the Red Roof Inn. All right. We'll check in with Bird in just a moment.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I got kind of excited yesterday because did you see the news that apparently Bradley Cooper, who I guess is kind of the kingmaker in Hollywood now, like everyone loves him because of the Star Is Born thing and how well he did as a director, and now they got him producing like a bunch of movies, that he apparently is behind a brand new Hulk Hogan biopic that's coming out.
Who's Hulk? That's all I need to know.
I do know the answer to that, but I didn't realize he's behind this movie. I saw that they're making a Hulk Hogan movie.
It is. Now, the director is a little iffy. It's Todd Phillips, the guy who did The Hangover, which, you know, is the first Hangover's great. 2 and 3 sucked.
Formulatic.
Just awful. And he also, you know, he did like Road Trip and Old School, but so he's like a comedy director. Although he's doing that new movie, The Joker, with Joaquin Phoenix, so I guess they're taking him a little more seriously. But the dude playing Hulk Hogan's a pretty good casting, and that's Chris Hemsworth, a.k.a. Thor. Yeah. I think they just saw him with his long blonde hair. It's like, all right, let's just give him, you know, a little bit of hair off the top, and all of a sudden you have Hulk Hogan. I spent all day yesterday obsessing on the casting of this movie. Like, who would play the Iron Sheik? Like, to me, like, out of all the things, I was just like, dude, who's got that freaking Terry Francona iron belly? It's like a belly, but it's like kind of muscular at the same time. Like that gut. And I kept imagining a Tom Hardy from that movie Bronson when he shaved his head, looked just like him, but he's not big enough. You know, he's not big enough.
Who's the big guy?
The other day, you think he's a little overrated.
I do think he's a little overrated, but I picture him. He looked like
the
Iron Sheik in that Bronson movie.
Who's the big guy from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Dave Bautista?
Yeah. Why can't it be Dave Bautista?
I don't know if he's got the chops. You know what I mean? It's like,
to be Iron Sheik? Really?
Iron Sheik's kind of a tough role, man.
I think
the Sheiky baby. He was a complicated character, all right? The Sheiky baby. I humble you.
All right.
Come on. I mean, Iron Sheik's if you're like De Niro in his prime, you are digging your teeth into that role. Iron Sheik's the kind of role that gets you nominated for Oscars.
All right.
It's a road paved in gold, baby. Honestly, who the hell is going to be the Iron Sheik?
You said on this program.
Oh yeah,
that's top five right there.
Iron Sheik.
He doesn't have the chops for Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Iron Sheik's a tough, complicated role.
You definitely got a method act for that one. Like walk a mile in his shoes.
Okay. Andre the Giant's gonna have to be a CGI creation because no one can. Who can play Andre the Giant? No one can play Andre the
Giant.
That's
true. Yeah,
you just can't.
Right.
I mean, who else has to be in this movie? I mean, the Hulk Hogan story. You've got to have Ric Flair's got to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could get a bunch of people to be Ric Flair. Ric Flair would be fairly easy.
Yeah. How much is this covering? Like, are we all the way?
Okay.
Through?
So this is the thing that kind of sucks is that I thought that an Iron Sheik movie, not Iron Sheik movie, that would be even better than a Hulk Hogan movie. A Hulk Hogan movie, I thought would be an excellent film if it started in his humble beginnings and then ended with the Gawker thing.
Right, that's what I'm asking. That's because not what it's doing?
No, apparently it ends before any of that Gawker stuff. And to me, like, that's the story. Like, that guy completely ruined. I mean, you know, when that, I forget who the billionaire was, the guy who was outed by Gawker. Peter Thiel?
That sounds right.
Yeah, he was outed by Gawker, and so he was like, I'm going to get behind Hulk Hogan and get him the best lawyers ever. And Hulk Hogan essentially took down all of Gawker and Gawker Media, destroyed them. And like that to me was a really interesting aspect of this guy's life.
Yep.
And to not include that, it just kind of is a little bit more of a...
Are they going to... You know, are they going to cover Hogan Knows Best? Is that going to be part of
it? Oh,
the
that'd be great. Who plays Hogan's daughter?
Ooh, I forgot about the thing with the son, too. Yep. Are they going to stop before that?
Yep.
Well, that was a mess. See, Hulk Hogan is a guy... I mean, that you want to talk about a crazy life. That's a guy you can make a really wild movie out of. But if you stop it before things got nuts... Then it's just, oh, yeah, he's a dude who became a wrestler. This is like another wrestling movie.
Right.
But I'm obsessing over who's Iron Sheik because I can't think of anyone.
You have your answer.
It's got to be somebody who's classically trained. This needs to be someone who, you know, has shared the stage with Dame Judi Dench at some point.
Maybe you could have Daniel Day-Lewis, like, put on some weight. I think you need that. You need, like, those acting chops is what you need.
You never know. People have gotten fat for lesser roles. Yeah. Let's go to JP. JP on line one. What's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
It's a trend. We're talking wrestlers. Joe Murray's awake somewhere. Listen. Hey, listen. Patrick Warburton is going to be in the movie as Sergeant Slaughter. Gronk with a mask, because you won't know it's him until the end of the movie. He's going to be Kane. I can't wait for it, boys.
All right. By the way, people were saying Dave Bautista got his fame from the WWE. I understand that. I know he was a wrestler originally. He wasn't the Iron Sheik.
You can't slap a mustache on him and have this work.
They probably should cast Gronk in this. I don't know I don't know what role, but they
Gronk,
probably...
You mean Gronk to be in the movie?
Yes. Who could Gronk play?
Ooh.
That's a good idea by the caller.
Ooh, that's a good one. Like, who does Gronk most resemble from the classic wrestling days? I need Jay Stu on the phone. Because to be quite honest, I was like a casual fan.
Like Bob Backlund or Ivan Putski or one of those guys?
I was not Sarge. Somebody said, who plays Bob with a love sponge? Get the guy who plays Mountain to play Andre. It's a different type of big. Mountain's like jacked and he's huge, stuff like that. Like Andre the Giant, like you'd have to, it has to be like somebody with a whole lot of camera trickery and CGI to make him. I mean, in the face, nobody looks like Andre the Giant. I mean, he was a weird looking dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who you could cast for him. And it was all consuming yesterday and I can't shake it, but I need to know who's going to play the Iron Sheik. And the Gronk thing's a great angle. So okay, we're getting a few in right here. Brutus the Barber Beefcake still lives in Winchester.
Oh, here you go.
Still in decent shape. Let's see. How about Bob Hoskins as the Iron Sheik? I think he's dead.
Who plays Stallone when Hulk is Thunderlips in Rocky III?
Ooh.
Ooh, who plays Stallone? Stallone could just play himself.
Just get Stallone to do it.
Honestly, he could probably do it.
Probably. All right, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.